Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. But before we get started, I just wanted to briefly read from an article. It was in the Wall Street Journal, sort of an obscure article on one of the back pages, hard to find. But it was for this last weekend, and this is what it said. The Fed doesn't need a press to print its new money. And then it goes on to say, wouldn't it be nice if you could just print money? Well, the U.S. Federal Reserve can. It has pumped roughly $800 billion of new money into the financial system over the past 7 months. And last week they said another $1 trillion or more could be created in the months ahead. But new money doesn't roll off a printing press and get loaded in an armored car. The Fed purchases securities or other assets from security dealers in exchange for electronic credits that amount to cash and are deposited in banks and then can be used as cash. Bob, that sounds like what you've been saying all along, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and he's got the gist of the thing, that's for sure. I just wish more people knew what we know and what we talk about on the program, and that's why you have to look into the history of the Federal Reserve to really understand the key to what they're doing in America.
I think people have to understand that the amount of actual money, I mean, if you want to say greenbacks in circulation, is perhaps $850 billion. Well, they certainly superimpose upon all that, all the credit that they create, and then all the value in the stock market and the inflated value of homes. I mean, almost $60 billion of phony credit has been destroyed worldwide here in the last 6 months or so. $60 trillion, all built upon, a lot of this, of course, is built upon the dollar, which is the reserve currency. And there's only $860 billion out there. They just create the credit, but that's just like money. And it is highly inflationary when, of course, we begin to have this whole system recover. And you've got all these credits out there, and they're either going to have to be destroyed or they're going to result in terrible, terrible inflation. But you pick up the story, Bob. Tell our listeners what you think is going on today.
Well, I think the $1 trillion that they're looking for from the Fed to the Treasury will be dispersed in very quick order. They're looking at probably $2.2 trillion in debt by the 30th September, which is the end of the fiscal year. And they got to finance it. And the foreign countries that have been buying treasuries have cut back. And it's obvious why. The problem with the dollar. And, you know, we've had a rally over the last 10 months, but it was highly unusual. And it was for reasons that most people really don't understand. And that reason was deleveraging. The banks didn't have the money to lend, and neither did the hedge funds that had access to that. And so they had to cut back on their investments and their leverage, and that in turn had to be settled in dollars, and in so doing, they drove the dollar up.
Well, I think what we see is that other countries are beginning to get very concerned. China's expressed concern about, is the dollar stable? And they don't think so. Well, Bob, you pick up the story there.
Well, I don't know where China and others are going to find an alternative. They keep on trying to operate within the system. And, you know, you can't win unless you get rid of the system, which is corrupt. Not only in America, but in other countries as well. So you're looking at an alternative that doesn't exist. I mean, the G20 is meeting very shortly, and they're going to come up with a basket of currencies to see if they can get general approval among their group. I don't know whether it'll be 7 currencies or 20 or more. But the problem is they're all fiat currencies. They've got nothing behind them except the euro, and the euro's backed probably 6-7% by gold now because they've been sellers. So, you know, they're not coming to grips with the problem. I guess maybe they really don't want to, per our previous conversations about the aims of this whole thing. And if they're forced to, I think eventually what they're going to do, and I might put off this basket of currencies thing for 2 or 3 years. And I think when they're really to pull the plug for deflation and let it go down the tubes, that's when they'll come up with an idea of a gold-backed digital currency. And no one's going to buy that either, because they don't trust these governments and central banks anymore. They don't want to lose their sovereignty to some currency that's controlled out of Brussels or Frankfurt or someplace. They're just not going to go along with it. And it's going to continue to cause consternation among the different nations. While that's going on, many of these nations, particularly smaller ones, will be throwing the dollar out and getting rid of it. And there'll also be a trade war at the same time. And that's normal, and it's expected, because everybody's trying to survive.
And everybody wants to look after themselves. The companies are going to begin putting up barriers and beginning to subsidize their products to export them. Right now, we are subsidizing our car manufacturers. I mean, why should we not, why should we object to other countries subsidizing their car manufacturers? We subsidize our agriculture. Why shouldn't other countries subsidize their agriculture? And of course, these are all means of selling your products in competition with the others. And I believe that, of course, we are heading towards protectionism. It could be the best thing that ever happened. It would bring down this whole concept of globalization. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bob Chapman. We're talking about really what's going on, that the whole world financial system is collapsing. There's going to be a meeting of the G20 sometime early in April, and of course it's expected that they will try to come up with an alternative to the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. And if the dollar ever loses its reserve status, countless trillions of dollars being held in reserves throughout the world will come funneling back into the United States. And I think that will really, of course, create tremendous problems here. I think it's important that people understand one basic principle, and that is inflation is not rising prices. Rising prices are a result of inflation. They do not produce inflation. Inflation is an increase in the money supply, either the real money supply or the credit, because, of course, credit works like money. People don't understand that our Federal Reserve System has created $800 billion within the last 7 months, just out of nothing. They're going to create another trillion, and probably $4 or $5 trillion before this is all over. They've already pledged some, or given, or lent some $11 trillion. This is all highly inflationary, and nobody seems to worry in Washington, D.C. They have this old idea that there's nothing to worry about, that we have a sound dollar. We really don't have a sound dollar, do we, Bob?
No, we don't. And for that matter, the other currencies are no piece of cake either. And I wouldn't be anxious to get any of them. And that's why I've told people to buy gold and silver-related assets.
Well, of course, they keep talking about how the International Monetary Fund come up with something like new drawing rights, which is simply a means of counterfeiting currency. Even though it's a currency backed absolutely by nothing, they can put all of that out they want to produce temporary prosperity as long as people will accept paper money. But one of these days, paper money is going to become totally useless, as it is in Zimbabwe today, as it has been for so many, centuries, whenever countries act irresponsibly. And no one would ever accuse the United States Congress of acting responsibly.
That's for sure. It's always been bad politically everywhere. But we've got some real beauties in Congress and have had them for a long time. You're looking at 94% of the incumbents were reelected, and about 32 or 3 of them didn't run again. And, it's dreadful. I mean, what do people think about? I mean, they must be dumber than dumb.
Well, the thing is, what we have done is we've gone from being a republic to a democracy, and, of course, what was wrong with democracy is people will always vote for the candidate who promises to give them the most. Barack Obama is going to give us free health care. He's going to give us a free education. He's going to give us, a better energy. He's going to do away with, the cars. They're going to cut back on the cars. They're going to tax you for driving your car. They're going to put on caps on carbon production, in other words, CO2 production. And we're going to deindustrialize America. We're going to increase spending. We're going to cut taxes. And we're all going to live happily ever after. But the trouble is, it just doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it's not a good time to cut taxes. And, they've cut them enough. They shouldn't raise them either. I know that the rich are supposed to be the target, and that's understandable. They've got lots and lots of money. And they probably will be targeted and get hit.
But, of course, then these are the people who actually do things, make things happen, invest their money. Why bother to invest your money and take a chance when the government's going to take most of it? There's be very little profit left by the time you get through paying a 39 or 40% federal tax, and then you're going to pay a 10% state tax, and if you're in New York, you'll pay another 10% city tax. Pretty soon, it's going to cost you to work.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Well, I think all of this is going to be compounded by the unemployment. We're going to see 22% this year. And, people have this big overhanging debt. I know that we've seen wages continue to be essentially frozen. And part of that is because of the 30 million or more illegal aliens in the country, and they can't get jobs either. And some of them are returning to their homelands because it's so bad, and it has been bad for the last couple of years. But wages are static, and you get high unemployment, you got tremendous personal debt, you do have 5% savings, which is good. But my guess is that's probably in the middle to upper middle class. I don't think anybody making $22,000 a year is saving anything.
No, I don't think so either. In fact, the only reason this thing has not really gotten into real trouble is because the unemployment benefits, and now, of course, one of the big things about the stimulus bill was to, continue the unemployment benefits for another 6 months, because they don't want the people to be angry. They want to provide for them, because government loves people and want to provide for their health and their education, their welfare. But one of these days, when government runs out of money, then, of course, I think we'll see the iron fist of government coming down. This is what always happens as you approach a dictatorship. And, if you study the history of democracies, they always become dictatorships. That's why our founding fathers gave us a republic. It's the same Most people don't even know the difference between a Republican and a democracy. Then most people don't even know, other than Barack Obama promises that he's going to take care of our health care, that he's violating the oath to the Constitution that he swore. Because, of course, it is not the function of government to provide for health care. Yes, people need health care. When I practiced medicine, I went into medicine 50 years ago, why, every county had a county health care plan. It was, you were obligated as a county to provide health care for the people who needed it. And then the government, the federal government, set out to destroy that, and then to destroy the system they created, and, of course, to create a situation where we are today, where there are 40 million people who don't have access to health care. And, of course, certainly we no longer have our county health system to fall back on. They intentionally and maliciously and viciously destroyed that. And tragically now, we do have many people who can't get health care because the government plan eventually to have not only federal control of health care, but also rationing of health care. Because that's what socialized medicine is all about. Rationing of access to health care. And that is what Barack Obama and the people surrounding him really want. The very wealthy people, when Barack Obama talks against the big banks in Wall Street and how terrible they are, you've forgotten that the second largest contributor to the Obama campaign was Goldman Sachs. And J.P. Morgan Chase wasn't far behind. And it is the people from those organizations that surround Barack Obama today. But of course, nobody is going to tell you that 11 members of the Trilateral Commission, there's only 86 of them, 87, and that includes, of course, the heads of Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and Citigroup. They're all in this little group of the Trilateral Commission, and 11 of those people are the people who surround the president today and are dictating his policy, and he simply is being a good little puppet, doing exactly what he's told to do. But he sure is charming, has a nice smile, and the American people love him because CBS tells us, and 60 Minutes keeps giving him, you know, about every other week where we have Barack Obama on for half an hour or at least 20 minutes with his winning smile and glib responses. But he never tells you that he is really surrounded by the people who financed him and put him in political office and rewarded him very well financially. I understand he's got a nice estate over in Hawaii, a very, very expensive home in Illinois. And you wonder how he could have done that when he's never held a job other than a community organizer. But you go right ahead.
Well, that's the payoff system that we have in America.
I mean, it's like suddenly Bill Clinton made and Hillary made $110 million over a period of $110 million, and that was just in their salary. There was another $490 million that went to the Clinton Foundation after he left the White House. You see, after you've been the president, you're well rewarded for services rendered. The same thing with Alan Greenspan, formerly the chairman of the Federal Reserve System. Why, Alan Greenspan got as much money for his memoirs as the Pope of Rome, with 1.25 million followers. What's wrong with his picture? Hillary Clinton.
Well, I think that the Pope was probably interested in getting to the people with his message and took less money. What do you think?
Well, I think that, of course, it was simply a payoff for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton got $10 million. Hillary only got $8 million for as an advance on her book. And, of course, Alan Greenspan got $8 million. This is simply payback for services rendered to the establishment. But you go right ahead.
Yeah, there's no question about it. They're just thieves. They're part of the Clinton-Bush crime family, no matter which way you want to cut it. And they're all evil, and that's their payoff.
In fact, George W. Bush is even going to write a book, and I don't know how much advance he's going to get on his book, but he'll be well rewarded for doing what he was told to do. And I think people have to understand there's a force behind the government. And they simply put politicians in power and tell them what to do, and they do what they're told. The man behind George Bush was a man named Dick Cheney. I think the architect of most of these things wrong. Member of the Trilateral Commission, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of the Bilderbergers, Of course, in my estimation, one of the evilest people we've ever had, working right out of that White House with a staff of 150 or 200 people. Well, you go right ahead, Bob. Now, what are some of the big things that have happened?
You know, I think, Stan, what you're saying here is what people are, some people.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Bob was just quoting Congressman Ron Paul, who says that he thinks this depression is going to last 15 years, and I think he's probably right. I think it's going to last a good long time. After all, Japan went into her depression back in 1990, 1991, and here we are 20 years later, almost 20 years later, and Japan is still in the depression. And would there be any reason why we would be any different as long as we have the same fraudulent monetary system where the rich get richer? And of course, taxpayer money is used to bail out AIG. And where does it go? Why, it goes, of course, to Goldman Sachs. It goes to J.P. Morgan Chase. It goes to Deutsche Bank. And, of course, what most people have forgotten is that Alan Greenspan was a special economic advisor to Deutsche Bank. And so it goes to the people who play the game. And they're richly rewarded for it. Alan Greenspan, of course, you know, as a consultant at Deutsche Bank, was taking out shorts on the derivative market and on so many of the things. They were taking out shorts on so many of the companies that went down. How did they know they were going to go down? How was it that they, the company Paulson he worked for, Paulson Company, made billions of dollars when the market collapsed? It's almost as if Alan Greenspan knew exactly what was going to happen. You can check that out in the Wikipedia. Look up Alan Greenspan in Wikipedia, and a fascinating article about how a Deutsche Bank, Alan Greenspan, working for Paulson and Company, and he was working for Deutsche Bank as well, but Paulson made literally billions of dollars when everybody else was losing and was expecting things to go up. Alan Greenspan knew they were going to go down. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Apparently, Timothy Geithner has three parts to his plan, the new plan for, you know, getting us out of this trouble. One of them is public-private partnerships to back private investors' purchases of bad assets. And they're going to use the $700 million to back it up. So they're saying that the government would match the private investors dollar for dollar and share any profits equally. That's what he said.
Well, the private investors will put anywhere between 3% and 15% of the money up because the Fed's going to lend them the money.
Right.
Which is, you know, taxpayer money, essentially.
Right, yeah.
It's a sweetheart deal.
We're helping the same crooks.
Yeah, what they're going to do is bring the assets in at a price that they know they can make money on them, and they're guaranteed against loss. And they don't have to return the loans if they don't work out. The whole thing is absolutely
scam.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, it looks to me
incredible that they would. This is the same program that was presented 6 months ago by Paulson that they worked on, that they found didn't work.
Well, basically, I think the listeners have to understand, these are what's known as the TALF funds, T-A-L-F,
yeah.
I think it's Term Asset Stability, fund, something of that sort, a loan fund, Term Asset Security Loan Fund. And basically, they're going to give the people the money to buy the assets, and then, of course, they're going to stand behind them. If they go up, they keep the money. If they go down, then the government pays for them. And I think a lot of these have a long ways to go before they're really over. And so I think that the government's just going to lose more and more money. We're putting a trillion and a half into that. And do you think that's going to solve the problem, Bob?
Not at all. You know, they want to pull this thing off. They want to create economic and financial devastation. But they still don't have a handle on what they're doing. They don't still know how to bring it about. Otherwise, they wouldn't be grasping doing what they're doing and creating inflation, looking for the right spot to cause deflation or allow deflation to flourish so that they can have their collapse.
Well, do you ever think, Bob, that what they're really doing is trying to give us the impression they're trying to do something, whereas they're really not? In other words, it's sort of like heavy Paulson, you know, 6 months ago without the $700 billion and TARP funds. And he was going to solve the problem, and he really didn't do anything with it at all. Things have gone from bad to worse. Now, of course, Mr. Geithner is going to get $1 trillion in TALF funds, but I think that they're trying to give us the impression. I mean, after all, you have to do something, and so they're going to do that. It's going to fail, and they're going to say, oh, shucks. And I think they knew it was going to fail all along. But, of course, they couldn't let the American people know the real goal was to destroy our economy, impoverish our people, and bring about a new world order, a new world religion. We'll be back in just a moment. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
God
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Bob Chapman on the line. Ray, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not trying to change the subject too much, but I think there's a move, and I think it's very insidious, that the government is involved in trying to undermine the printed word. What I'm saying is the newspapers have all gone on the internet so that the printed word is at stake here, because the computer is actually a storage space, really, a temporary storage space, that, you know, at best. And I think if they can get control over the printed word, whereby they can eliminate newspapers, period, and from there, they, of course, they eliminate books, printed word. I think that's where we're moving. Slowly but surely, I think that's where we're moving.
Well, that's exactly what George Orwell described in his book, 1984, where ideas that they did not want went down the memory hole, or articles that they don't want published just don't appear on the Internet. We find this all the time. Mm. We found that with the article by Richard Haas, written, I believe, in 1996, you know, telling everything that was going to happen after the September 11th terrorist attack. The terrorist attack is coming. This is what's going to happen. Long lines at the airport, long lines. This is 1996, long lines to get into federal buildings. You know, people having to be more regimented. And, you know, the article published in the Washington Post just disappeared. And fortunately, we were able to find it in a Florida newspaper, Palm Beach Press, something like that, but we have the article, but they totally put this down the memory hole. I think that you're absolutely right, Ray.
They
control our reality by making facts disappear. It's like the fact America is a republic, not a democracy. Now, one person in 100 understands that in America, or understands that most of what's going on in Washington, D.C. is subversive.
I think that companies like Google are really involved in I think companies like Google are involved with the government, very, very deeply involved with the government in their quest for the New World Order. I think
hold that thought right there. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have with us Bob Chapman this evening. We have a caller on the line. And if you'd like to have a question for Bob, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. But right now, before we go on, Bob, and Ray, you just hang on the line there. But Bob, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they could get in touch with you and get a free copy of the International Forecaster, because I think it's certainly one of the finest things I read. It comes twice a week, and I read it religiously. I know a lot of the people I know take the Forecaster, and they read it religiously, waiting for Wednesday or Saturday to be brought abreast of all of the things that are happening in the international financial markets, a compilation of the things you see in multiple newspapers and in multiple magazine articles. But Bob, why don't you tell our listeners how they could get in touch with you if they'd like to subscribe to the International Forecaster? And again, I number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Bob.
The Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, runs around 35 or so pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. If you'd like a free introductory copy, you can go to our site. That address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. If you'd like to email us, you can do it that way as well. And that address is bob@intforecaster.com. That's B-O-B at I-N-T F-O-R-E CASTER.com, or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. 4188.
All right, fine. Ray, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Just a comment. I think where they eliminate books, they also eliminate people eventually.
Ray is simply saying that he thinks that they are going to close down a lot of the newspapers, and so you're not going to have newspaper print. Everything will be on the Internet.
Everything.
Books will be on the Internet. I said the written material, magazines will be on the Internet, and then they can delete what they want to. And as it was in George Orwell's 1984, if you can't find these thoughts, these ideas, they just didn't exist. And we've seen this with these so many things. Most people have never heard of Operation Keel Hull, or after the end of the Second World War, the United States and Great Britain and the Western European allies sent 6 million Russians back to Russia to be killed, and most of them were executed. Two-thirds of them were executed very shortly after they arrived. How could you conceal something like that from the American people? Why, you can. We have freedom of the press. And if you have freedom of the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever you want. I mean, literally thousands of the Nazi war criminals were brought both to the United States, and probably between 10 and 60,000 sent to South America so they could live out their days comfortably and continue many of their horrendous experiments both here and in South America in something called Operation Paperclip and the Rat Line. Not a word of that in the controlled media. I mean, certainly instance after instance of satanic rituals and demonstrations against them covered in a book we have called Satanic Crimes. Over in Europe, of course, these things are well known, not ever mentioned here. The existence of the Bilderberger Organization has meetings regularly throughout the world. You never hear about this meeting of the elite. Why? Because they control the media here in the United States, and they've concealed their existence. So they've already been doing this for some time, Ray.
Yeah.
I just think it's just going to get a lot worse.
Yeah. Well, that's about all I have.
All right. God bless.
Good
to hear from you. Thank you. Bob, what do you think of what Ray was saying?
Well, I think he's correct. The public is learning now. I get letters every day. I got one today from a serviceman who wanted to subscribe. He's on his way to Afghanistan. And I sent him a note, said, terrific. Just make sure you reprint it and give it to everybody who's interested. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, because they'll probably try to stop him, if not stop him, from giving the forecaster out or sending it to other people's computers, you know?
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that all these wars are phony wars. Like Vietnam was a phony war. We never tried to win the war. We were actually subsidizing the Russians. We were subsidizing the North Koreans. North Vietnamese were subsidizing the Viet Cong. They were killing our boys. The same thing in Afghanistan. We send money to the Pakistan. They give it to the intelligence. The intelligence funds the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. So we're funding the people who are killing our boys in Afghanistan today. When are the American people going to wake up and realize that this is, we are not trying to catch Osama bin Laden? We let him escape when it was at Tora Bora back there in December of 2001. We never tried to get him. We have an article out of the Washington Times. Anybody would like to see it? High government officials said, we're not trying to get Osama bin Laden. Our policy is not Osama bin Laden first. Our policy is Osama bin Laden last. If we captured or killed Osama bin Laden, how would we justify this war? How would we justify this war? And you'll find that in my writings, but we have the article. We'd be glad to send you a copy. Understand and weep for all those boys who've died for nothing. Well, let's telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bob, what are the big issues now? Certainly this past week, when the Chinese premier had sent a message to Barack Obama saying he was very concerned about the stability of the American dollar, especially since the Chinese have so much money invested here. And then, of course, we got the word that Mr. Geithner is going to go ahead and simply create another trillion and a half dollars for the TALF program. I love these acronyms, TALF, TARP, FASB, all of these have meanings, certainly the CDOs and the AIG and the SIVs, and all of these are just sort of confuse people. You can't quite get your arms around what they're talking about as they use the acronyms. But certainly, I think there are a lot of people, certainly not only in this country but throughout the world, who are worried about the stability of our currency. And if you destroy the stability of a currency, you really destroy the nation, don't you?
You sure do. And in this case, it's not only going to be the United States, it's going to be every currency that's going to be devalued. And I think they'll do it simultaneously. And they will default at the same time, and everybody will live unhappily ever after and broke. And they just don't want a gold-backed currency, no matter what it is. And I think they're going to pay dearly for it, because there's too many people know what they're doing today. This is not the 1960s when you and I started off with this idea. This is today, and the communications are spectacular. And as long as they're open to us, these people are not going to get away with this.
Well, I think it's really very interesting. There's a fellow named Ben Stile who works as a special fellow there at the Council on Foreign Relations. Apparently, he's on loan from the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is the European or the English counterpart of the Council on Foreign Relations. But Ben Stile keeps writing articles, and of course, we are a correspondent for the with the CFR. We get all their material, and they reproduce his articles that say the importance of coming up with a new currency that is gold-backed. Why would the CFR be pushing something like that? Do you think that's what they have in their mind down the line? Of course, after they've destroyed the value of all the currencies and impoverished the people throughout the world?
They could. The question is, where's the gold and who's going to hold it? And do we really want a world currency which denies everybody their sovereignty? And, you know, what I'm getting in mail from all over the world is that we don't want that. And if our country tries to do that, we're going to overthrow the government.
Well, certainly, I don't think the people...
These are coming from everywhere.
Well, I don't think the people want it, but do you think that they really care? The elite really don't care what the common people want. I mean,
well,
the elite have their plan, and they're planning
on
issuing the
currency.
May I pardon?
How are they going to put it in place?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea. I think that's what they plan. I think it's a terrible idea. But they say, look, you're going to have a gold-backed currency. It will be privately issued, not issued by government, because you can't trust government. But, of course, you can trust us, because we're the elite, and we know what's best for you. We're concerned about you common people. So we're going to restore the stability of currencies with a privately issued gold-backed currency, and they've actually come out and recommended or suggested that. So I think that's what they, after down the line, after they've managed to destroy everything and suddenly inflate the way, destroy the value of our currency as they have in Zimbabwe and the government that we put in place, and we've kept certainly the dictator, the ruthless communist dictator, Mugabe, in power in Zimbabwe. Why, I think that this may be what they intend to do here. Only time is going to tell. Anyway, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Vince, who's calling us. Where are you from, Vince?
I'm from Oneonta.
Okay, fine. What state is that in?
That is in New York.
All right, fine. Go right ahead.
I listen to the news a lot, and you hear about these people, like Obama giving $1 trillion to this guy, $1 trillion to that guy, China giving us X number of billion dollars, we're giving Israel X number of billions of dollars. How does this money get transferred from left from one place to the other?
Bob, how does the money get
bank wires?
It seems like it's monopoly money. I mean, and what happened? I mean, what exactly would happen if we didn't pay back or somebody else didn't pay back the money that we loaned, or that was loaned to us, or we loaned them? What would be the consequences?
Well, first
of all,
Vince, we're not lending money to Israel. Most of us, we're giving the money to Israel. We're giving the money to Egypt. We're giving the money to countries throughout the world. We're going to give almost $1 billion
to
the
worse.
Pay fine?
That's even worse.
I know it's worse, but that's what we're doing. We have to borrow money every single day, probably in the neighborhood of about $3 billion. Every day we have to borrow from foreign countries to maintain, you know, our balance of payments, because basically we have to pay our bills, so we have to borrow the money. And then we're giving money away. That doesn't really sound very logical, does it? I mean, if you were head over heels in debt, would you really want to be giving money away?
Exactly. So why are we doing that? What exactly is the advantage of us giving money to Israel money to Egypt?
All right, fine. Bob, why don't you address that? Why would we be giving money away when we have to borrow money every day just to pay our debts?
Well, to keep people in line and in money that are working with the conspiracy in all of these different countries. And that's what it filters down to. I mean, look at the aid that goes to Egypt and to Israel. I mean, you know, whose pocket is it going into? I mean, it's dreadful, the amount of money that we've given away for so many years. That's why they do it, to keep people in power who they want. I'm carrying a piece on Wednesday, and I used the whole article, and it was out of one of the European newspapers, and the man who led these supposed murder brigades in Serbia was a top CIA agent in Serbia, and they were behind, the CIA was behind all of those terrible things that happened there. And, you know, this stuff eventually comes out. And, you know, it wasn't in anybody's best interest to have those two groups fighting with each other. And, you know, the slaughter that went on. And the U.S. was behind the whole thing.
Probably financing both sides, unfortunately. Anything else, Vince?
Yeah, I mean, all right, now, okay, let's say China loans us $1 billion, correct?
Right.
It gets wired to where, and then where does it get distributed to?
Oh, it would be probably a wire transfer, and then, of course, it would go into the Treasury. It would go to the United States Treasury. Right. Okay. They would be buying Treasury bonds, and so they would wire the money. They would be credited or maybe even sent the Treasury bills, and then, of course, that would be their security to get the money back. And then, of course, they get a certain amount of interest. Some of these don't even pay interest at the present time. But China has been buying our bonds so that we would have the money to buy their products. It was just that simple. But right now we're not buying their products, so they don't have as much money. And so their income is down considerably. And many people fear that if China stops buying American debt, why, of course, then the only alternative we have, since we have such a massive daily debt, we'll just have to start creating money out of nothing, which is highly inflationary, and that's how you destroy the currency. I really believe, Vince, it's all about destroying the value of our currency and impoverishing our people. There is no better way to destroy a nation, if you want to destroy a nation, than to destroy the currency. And there really are people in positions of power in America whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to this internationalist dream of a one-world government, a one-world economic system, and a one-world government. Do you have any other questions, Vince?
Yeah, why would we even do business with a country that could potentially nuke us?
All right, so Bob, why would we do a business with a country that could potentially nuke us, like communist China?
Well, you know, you look back on that whole history, and it really began as we know it, after the Second World War, when the insiders chose Mao Zedong over Chiang Kai-shek, who ended up in Taiwan, and that evolution has led to what we see today. And I think the reasons for all of what they've done is not strategic in nature, but I think it's because they wanted to make money. They're just incredible desire of the internationalist corporations. I mean, I don't know what the exact figure is, but I guess it's 70% of clothing that comes into the United States is coming from China. and who is the one who manufactures and brings that over? Well, it's Walmart and other international, transnational corporations like that. And they make a great profit, and they don't care whether China has a totalitarian government. All they're interested in is making money. And so I think that's why China was open. I think it was, more than anything else, a financial situation.
Well, I think, Vince, it may also be that some people would like to see a nuclear war. I mean, what a wonderful way to change the world. Well, we've got just a few more minutes. Vince, do you have anything else to say before we let you go?
Nah, I think I'm all set. Thanks.
God bless. But I really believe that there really are plans being made.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
You're never going to get to the regular channels, but I do hope that you, if you have access to a computer, you'll go up and you'll check the things we talk about. Operation Keelhaul. Operation Paperclip. There's so many stories out there that about all the men we abandoned, you know, at the end of the Second World War. About between 20 and 25,000 American servicemen we left to die in the gulag of Siberia, just as we left somewhere between 500 and 2,000 men to die. And in Vietnam, we abandoned 8,000 in Korea. Many of them were taken to Russia to be experimented on. If you haven't ever read the book Betrayed by our good friend Dr. Joe Douglas, the book is Betrayed. It tells you a horrible story of the fate of a man who went off to fight for freedom, never realizing that the leaders of this country hated freedom and were intent upon betraying them. And unfortunately, this sort of thing is going on over in Iraq and Afghanistan today, where they're poisoning our troops. So many of them are coming home and seriously ill with something akin to Gulf War illness from depleted uranium and other things. And of course, they can't get help from the Veterans Administration. And all the talk about how much we love our veterans is simply talk. You need to get our 4-tape set on the Gulf War syndrome. You need to get our four tape set on population control, or my talk on planned population reduction, or my talk on population control. And if you get any of the items, just ask for the monograph. The population control agenda, we'll be glad to get it to you. If you want to understand the economics, we have a wonderful book. It's called The Final Battle, written by a Mr. Wahlberg back in 1889. Talking about how the banks had engineered recessions before, and it's just exactly what's going on today. This whole recession is totally engineered. They simply created an excuse for it. It's called the housing crisis, but they did this on purpose, knowing full well what was going to happen, and the people who tried to intervene and stop it, why, they were simply crushed by powerful forces in Washington, D.C. Well, that's the book, is The Final Countdown, another book written in 1935 by Gertrude Coogan called The Money Creators, how the major banks and the Federal Reserve, working in concert, created the Great Depression. And then, of course, you'll certainly want to get my little pamphlets on the history of money and on the final financial meltdown. They're inexpensive. We hope you'll get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and Fiat Money Inflation in France, a book written over 100 years ago about something that happened 200 years ago, but it's like deja vu all over again. And then, of course, my talk on the financial tsunami. That's the financial tsunami and the syllabus that goes with that. We gave it about 3 years ago, but it's all coming to pass. And then if you've got to begin to protect yourself, you've got to get out of debt, you've got to get out of dollars. You have to understand that the purpose and the intent is to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people and bring about a one-world government. Go to my website, RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com. Read my November and December 2008 and my January 2009 newsletters. And weep. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, it's all contrived. But it is contrived for a purpose. And what's that purpose? Well, then, of course, you need to get the DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix, the story of the occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill. And then the DVD, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. The DVD, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get the DVD, The Atlantis Connection by Chris Pinto. These are ones we produced. And The Emergence, Constance Cumby, talking about the coming world leader. And I have my 4-tape set interview with her. It's called The Aquarian Conspiracy. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mr. William Spillane, who's with the Fair Tax Project, and talking about the effort. They want to do away with the IRS, but, of course, they want to substitute the fair tax. So without further ado, I'm going to let Mr. Spillane come on. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Monteith, and your listeners owe you a debt of gratitude for presenting this. This is very good information.
You're talking about the information on the fair tax. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and why you are involved with this? And are you a full-time employee of the organization or what?
I'm a volunteer and a contributor, sir, and this is a volunteer organization, worldwide, nationwide at least. And I've been with the fair tax for over 10 years, and the reason I'm involved is I have a degree in economics from Purdue and a lifelong study of economics, and as well as a military career and a career as an airline pilot and all kinds of good things like that. But the important thing is, having studied economics my whole life, I know what a good economic program is as far as taxation is concerned. And you'll find any reputable economist will tell you that the most efficient, the fairest way to collect taxes is through a consumption tax. Now, that means a sales tax of sorts. It can be a value-added tax. It can be a direct retail sales tax, that sort of thing. The most heinous way to collect taxes is what we have, the income tax. And so we're going to replace that. We have a bill in Congress, H.R. 25. It's called in the House. 51 co-sponsors so far. We had 72 last year. And, of course, it's a new Congress, so we start all over, and we're up to 51 already. That's a record, speed-wise. And we have a bill in the Senate as well. In the Senate, it's called S-296. Now, allow me to tell you what it does and why it's so great. First of all, what it does is replaces all personal and corporate income taxes. It replaces all personal and business payroll taxes. That's, of course, Social Security and Medicare. And it replaces taxes on dividends, capital gains, gift taxes, the alternative minimum tax, and the death tax. And last but certainly not least, we join all that with a prebate, which is what we call a rebate in advance. So in other words, for taxes you would pay up to the poverty level, which is calculated by the federal government every year, we will give you your taxes as long as you're a legal resident of the United States. We'll give you your taxes back in advance. So that consequently makes it a very progressive tax, even more progressive than the income tax. So it's a super bill. It replaces the income tax, which is so destructive in so many ways. We could spend hours telling you how bad the income tax is. If you'd like me to start, I'll be happy to do that.
Go right ahead.
Well, the income tax has a tremendous number of hidden taxes and penalties within it, and it consequently makes people do things that are very much against the economy of the United States. For example, all United States goods and services include a component that is about 20-22% federal taxes. First of all, people say, what? What are you talking about? American-made goods and services are full of federal taxes. How did that happen? Well, let's say you have a fine, shall we say, a crystal goblet made in the United States. Of course, that's glass, so we have to start out with some raw materials, and that's sand. So we have a miner of sand who goes to the beach at night or wherever he gets his sand, digs it up, and ships it off on somebody's trucking company to a plant to turn that into silica or whatever, and that sand company has employees, and so he pays payroll taxes to those employees, and he pays profits taxes because he's a corporation generally.
All right, you hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with William Spillane. We're going to be talking about the fair tax. All right, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Mr. Spillane is telling us that most of the products we have already have a 20% government tax on it. So go ahead, pick up the story.
Well, that's if they're American-made, not if they're foreign-made. But the American-made products have these taxes built in because of the cascading effect of the corporate tax and the payroll tax at each level of production, so that it just trickles along, and they pass that tax on to the next guy, the truck driver, trucking company, and to the manufacturing plant, and to the wholesaler and the retailer. All those taxes wind up on the glass, in this case, the crystal goblet, and that's on the retail shelf, and there it is. It's loaded with American taxes. Now, if we ship that overseas in an effort to keep American jobs in the United States, it's a good idea to export. So we ship that overseas, and say France or Germany, Spain, whatever, and they put a value-added tax on top of that. So there is our tax-laden goblet made in America with not only American taxes in it, but the foreign taxes on top of it. Now, the French-made goblet gets the value-added tax also, but it doesn't have all those American taxes included in it. So we're not competitive in France or Germany, Spain, Japan, you name it. But their goods are competitive here. So we're not competitive there or here. They are competitive with us there and here. So that's why jobs get shipped overseas. Not only that, that's bad enough, but it can get worse because the cost of compliance with the income tax code is humongous. It's hundreds of billions a year. Reputable organizations, think tanks, and so forth have come up with over $300 billion a year in costs that then are passed on to the consumer. Consumer pays for everything. So then we have the cost of business people who spend so much time and energy trying to figure out their next move and the tax consequences. That adds additional costs to the embedded taxes in our products and services. So this compliance costs don't raise a dime for the Treasury, but they cost fortunes for the consumer because all these costs are passed on to the customer. That's the only place the corporations or businesses or Kool-Aid stands get their money is from the customers, so that's where they have to recoup their costs in the prices. Now, the fair tax gets rid of all that. We get rid of all the embedded taxes. We get rid of the cost of compliance. We pick up taxpayers from the illegal operations that go on in the United States, the off-budget stuff, the crime and so forth. Now they're finally paying taxes, and from illegals who ship their money home and don't pay taxes in the United States. So it's a win-win-win for the American citizen. Unfortunately, it's a lose-lose for the tax lobbyists in Washington who like to put their arms around our famous congresspeople and extol them with benefits such as campaign contributions if they'll just comply with a little change in the tax code here and there, and the income
hold
tax
that
is the way
we'll
to
be,
do it.
Hold that thought for just a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is William Spillane, and he's with the Fair Tax Group, and they're saying that certainly our goods would be far more competitive with foreign goods. Certainly we manufacture things here, but there's so many corporate taxes and payroll taxes and other things in the products that cost to produce things here. Then they're shipped overseas, the value tax is added on, and they're sold in those communities because they have value taxes overseas. He also says that about $300 billion a year goes out for a compliance here in the United States. And then, of course, when he thinks that if we simply had this tax, now how high would this tax be? Because we already have, of course, here in California, it's going up to 9% sales tax. So this value-added tax, flat tax is going to be on top of that. Is that correct?
No, sir. They're really two separate issues. Of course, they're related. They're very much related. Now, no matter what we do with this is a federal program. It's a bill in Congress, H.R. 25 in the House, S. 296 in the Senate, and we're only talking about federal taxes. However, you're quite correct in saying that the states will take a look at this, and they will probably go along with it. You didn't say that. I said it, but that's what will probably happen.
Well, I mean, but they're already getting it. They're not going to give up their 9% sales tax here in California. I mean, they're going to have that 9%, and then we're going to have to pay the federal sales tax, which is really is about a federal sales tax, isn't it?
It's a federal sales tax, but you see prices will go down. First of all, prices will go down because we're stripping out all those costs, all the compliance costs. We're picking up added taxpayers. Consequently, the prices will go down 10-15% or so, probably closer to 15%. But it's hard to tell. It depends on the product. Now, then the California taxes are separate, just as property taxes are and gasoline taxes. We're only trying to kill the monster that's the income tax, and, of course, the states will benefit by going along with it and doing the same thing. We've studied various states, including California, of course. I'm the state director for Fair Tax in California. And what will happen in California, back of the envelope calculations, more or less, by very smart people, is that the California tax will go down because, first of all, we're spreading the tax base, and that just means what we tax, and we're taxing both goods and services under the fair tax. People will have more money in their pocket as a result of the fair tax. That's the bottom line.
In other words, if I go to the dentist, well, I'm going to be paying a tax. If I go to the doctor, I'm going to pay a tax. If I get my car worked on, I'm going to be paying a part of this tax. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. And you'll have your full paycheck, and you'll have no payroll taxes. You'll have no taxes that individual business people pay, withholding tax of that sort. So you're going to have more money in your pocket. Prices will be lower at the cash register, and you're going to have, at the end of the month, you're going to have a lot more money in your pocket. Now, let's take a look at...
But my understanding is, of course, that you're going to give a lot of people who are not making much money, you're going to actually give them money to go along with this. So that's sort of to get their support for that. I mean, if you're in the poverty area, why, of course, you're going to get money, and I would think a lot of poor people that would support this. After all, everybody wants money.
Everybody gets it, sir. Everybody who's a legal resident. You don't have to apply for it if you don't want to. Maybe wealthy people won't apply for it because it's insignificant to them, relatively speaking. But it will untax the poor for the very first time. They'll be paying no payroll taxes, no income taxes, and they'll be getting that check in the mail. That's true. So, but everybody gets it. And what that does is makes the tax progressive. And, yes, that's necessary to get full support across the political spectrum, no doubt about it. But it is not true that just because it's a sales tax, it's immediately ipso facto regressive. It's absolutely not. It's progressive. For example, as you indicate, people at the poverty level below will pay no taxes, no federal taxes. And then as your income climbs, and it's really not where income, we're used to talking about income, but as your spending climbs, then slowly you'll start paying effectively a tax. And by the time you spend $55,000, not earn, but to spend $55,000, your actual tax rate, because of the prebate, will be about 11%. And you're paying more than that now in payroll taxes, let alone income taxes. You can have more money in your pocket when this is over. If you're spending at the rate of $110,000, your effective tax rate will be about 18%. Now, if you take your payroll tax, 15.3% total, and at least a 10 or 15% income tax, that's way more than 18% that you'll be paying for the sales tax, for the fair tax. It's a win-win for us. It's not a win for the people that want to keep their handcuffs on you and tell you what cars you need to drive and jerk you around through the income tax code. It gives power back to the people. This is Radio Liberty. This is a liberty law.
I mean, what would somebody making, say, $250,000 a year?
You mean making or spending?
No, they're going to make $250,000 a year. What are they going to be putting out?
Depends on what they spend. They can make all they want. They can make a bazillion, and it depends on what they spend is how much tax they'll pay.
So if they, basically then the very, very wealthy people, they don't spend it, they invest it. Why, of course, they don't have to really pay hardly any taxes then. So in some ways, this is not a progressive tax. The rich can get out of paying taxes by limiting their spending. Is that right?
Well, now, you've really hit on something there. Let's punish the people who invest, who build the factories, who create the jobs. Is that what you want to do? Look, this is a bill that's good for everybody. Now, let's take an example. Let's say you and I both make, let's pick a wild number, let's say $1 million a year. And you're a good guy because you spend it all. And you spend your $1 million here and there all in the United States, and so you're paying the fair tax, 23% on every dollar, and you're paying a lot of taxes. Good for you. Your progressive prebate amounts to almost nothing, but we won't worry about that. And I'm a cheapskate. I'm making $1 million a year, and I live in a tree. I spend nothing. I steal, say, nuts from the squirrels. But what do I do with $1 million? I have to put it somewhere, unless I'm going to burn it or bury it. I'm going to put it in a bank, at least. Maybe invest it in the stock market, but I'm going to put it in some sort of an intermediary organization. And what are they going to do with it? They're going to loan it to people to build homes, to build businesses, to hire people. So everybody's a good guy, you see. You're a good guy because you spend all your money and you pay a lot of taxes. I'm a good guy because I saved all my money and I gave it to the bank and they gave it to people to invest and to create jobs. I'm not benefiting. I'm still living in the tree. I've got $1 million. Next year I'll have $2 million, then $5 million. So what? I'm still in the tree. I'm not benefiting by that. But you're benefiting because I'm having all that money invested. So if we want to punish investors, that's what we're doing with the income tax. We're driving them overseas. We have trillions of dollars parked overseas that won't come home because they don't want to pay the income tax on it. Every year, once in a while, even Barbara Boxer got on the bandwagon this year and said, we have to be able to bring that money back home. And then other groups in her party said, no, we don't want to let the rich guys have a break. Well, who's getting hurt on that? The people that are getting hurt are the people that don't get the jobs that would result from the investment that money would create back in the United States. That's another thing the fair tax will do. It'll bring all that money back to the states. They'll invest it here. This is a great place to do it. And our GDP will go up 10% in the first year. That's a conservative estimate.
All right, fine. Has it ever been tried? Can you show me any country that has ever tried this? I had a video, of course, that, especially now, as the economy is contracting, people are loath to spend, and so your assessment is, in essence, going to be doubling the sales tax to, it sounds like it'll be, what about 20, 22%?
23% inclusive.
23%, and then what about the state tax on top of that?
They tax on top of that, but that'll be about 4%.
Well, wait a minute. Right now it's at 9% here in California.
It's only on goods. We broaden the tax base, and it's on goods and services, so the tax rate will come down.
You mean to tell me that the people up in Sacramento wouldn't keep the 9%? Of course they would. They keep wanting to spend. They're furious because they can't get enough money. They want to fund everything. They've got all sorts of programs that really benefit themselves, and if you're a legislator and you get voted out of office, they got a nice job for you there, a couple hundred thousand, $150,000 a year. Politicians never give money back to the people.
Well, that's fine. And then more jobs and more businesses will go to Las Vegas and Nevada and other places, Arizona and so forth. And then finally people will see the light and they'll throw the bums out. I can't tell them what to do. All we're trying to do is fix the federal tax code, and we think that the states will fall in line because it's such a good idea. And you'll have more money in your pocket. And if you want to lament the fact that somebody will be getting rich, then what you want to do is drive all the investors out of the country. I think that would be a great idea, and then we can all go to France and get a job over there.
We're already, of course, giving people who go overseas, they don't have to pay any income tax. I mean, if you're a corporation, you manufacture in China or some other place, you don't have to pay any taxes.
I'm trying to fix that. I'm trying to fix that with the fair tax.
But, of course, right now, of course, you're going to start charging the people overseas. How are you going to actually get them to pay taxes? I mean, right now, if I was a major producer, I'd love to go over to China and not have to pay any taxes and live over there comfortably.
Well, I've lived overseas. I've lived in Asia. I've lived in Europe. And if you're going to continue to be an American citizen, you will pay American income taxes.
Well, but right now we don't. Right? You're living overseas. I'm talking about corporations. If you live over there as an American citizen, yes, you have to pay taxes, but not if you're a corporation. We've actually encouraged our corporations to go overseas, and I don't know that you really think this is going to drive them home.
Yes, it will, of course. We encourage them to go overseas by driving them offshore because of our tax code.
Right.
Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, the great 3M company, recently said, and I could recite the Wall Street Journal article to you, is they're going overseas with their factories from now on because of the American tax code. Usually people don't admit it, but they admitted it in the Wall Street Journal. So we're trying to fix that, sir. We're trying to get those companies to come home and invest their money in the United States. And if they're not paying any corporate taxes here, they'll gravitate to the United States. Look what happened to Ireland a few years ago. Now they're in the recession with the rest of Europe and so forth, but they became the Celtic Tiger, or the Celtic Tiger, if you like. Because why? Because they dropped their corporate income tax to 12.5%, and the investors came flocking in, Microsoft, Xerox, investors from all over the world went flocking into Ireland because they had a low corporate income tax. They should have gone to zero, but they went to 12.5%, and that was enough. And that's the same thing that would happen in the United States.
Well, I would love to see them lower taxes here in the United States. But, of course, what we're doing, they're talking about increasing spending and cutting taxes at Washington, D.C. I don't think you could increase spending and cut taxes. Doesn't make sense to me, but we'll be right back. So basically, of course, the Obama administration wants to increase spending and cut taxes.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
They do in Florida is that because they have monstrous property taxes to make up for it, but that's all right. That's at the because politicians never get enough money. But if you have a question for our guest, he's a very articulate spokesman for his position. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. What's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295? Now, Mr. Spillane, is working at this as a volunteer coordinator, and he says that they have legislation in. A number of congressmen have already certainly put their names on this legislation, and it would be, but it's going to leave the 16th Amendment in place. That's the thing that bothers me. If that 16th Amendment is there, supposedly, why it's going to do away with the IRS, but I mean, they want to get the value-added tax, why they can, well, they can, politicians never have enough money. Suddenly, like a lion, it's always hungry. Well, let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz, and if you have questions, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY 464-8295. Is this a good idea? Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I just have a question, Stan, for your guest there. He says a minute ago that they ran it by the Federal Reserve, meaning the fair tax, and. Just what exactly did the Federal Reserve say about that?
Well, it was Alan Greenspan. It was a personal conversation. And we said to him, how much lead time would you need? Do you see any problems with this? And he said, well, I'd need at least 6 months, but I see no problems with it. That's it.
I take it you don't listen to Radio Liberty very much.
Sir, I'm an extremely busy bunny, and I have not listened to Radio Liberty.
Yeah, this is kind of the wrong audience to... speak favorably.
Well, now we want to get his position there.
Yes, sir.
Mike, we want to hear what he has to say, and he makes a very good defense of his position.
He does.
The only thing more liberty than this is no tax at all. This is the most efficient, innocuous way to collect a tax. If we need the military, if we need the courts, we need the police departments and various other reasons that we raise taxes, we have to raise some kind of taxes. I know the extreme libertarian. I consider myself a small L libertarian. The most extreme libertarian position is no tax, no. Let's have some anarchy and so forth. I understand
what else,
that.
What else did Alan Greenspan say about it?
That's all it was asked, and that's all it was said. That's all it was asked. That's all.
Do you have anything in writing from anybody at the Fed?
No, sir.
All right, fine. Anything else, Mike? Before we let you go.
Good enough for now. Thanks.
All right. God bless. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Who actually talked to Alan Greenspan about this?
It was a gentleman who helped to write the bill in Congress. An Italian name, it escapes me right now, but he's one of our consultants and also Leo Lindbeck. I forgot Mr. Lindbeck is the chairman and CEO of Fairtax.org. He's one of the founders. There are a bunch of businessmen in Houston, none of them oilmen. And they sat around a card table one day and were complaining like crazy about the tax code. And they said, you know what, we got to belly up. We got to do something about it. Let's quit whining about it. What are we going to do? Okay, they threw a little money together. And they said, what should it look like? Well, we don't know. We start with a blank sheet of paper and start asking people and start hiring consultants. Hired some of the best consultants and scholars from around the country, from Harvard, Stanford, you name it, all the best schools and all the best think tanks in the country as to what a tax should look like and what's in the present tax and what's wrong with the present tax. Dale Jorgensen of Harvard was the man who is Mr. Tax himself, was the guy who came up with a number of 20-22% of all American products and services are embedded with federal taxes. So we hired the best minds, and then we went out to think groups, think tanks, to focus groups and asked people, what do you think of this, and what do you want? And it was one of those focus group good old Americans who said, wow, that's a really fair tax. And everybody's eyes lit up and said, hey, we got a name. And that's how the name came out for the fair tax. Nothing more complex than that. So a bunch of great people, and they started a grassroots organization. I heard a radio spot on it. I've been trying to get rid of the corporate tax for years. I was on Ronald Reagan's National Advisory Council to the Small Business Administration. And I tried to get the Reagan administration to drop the corporate tax because it's so harmful to the United States and to investments and to jobs in the United States. I finally got it through. After 2 years, I got it through, and it got to the Reagan administration, and some lower echelon jerk said, are you kidding? You know, and that was the end of that. All my work went to a comment written across the paper that said, are you kidding? So that's how I got involved in taxes on the federal level. And then when I heard about the fair tax, I just said, that's for me. That's even better an idea than I had. So I've been on board ever since.
Okay, so a lot of us really would like to cut back on the federal government. We don't think the federal government has any business having a police force. That's something that should be done at the state level. But we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly I'd like to do away with the federal income tax. I think they did one time for 150 years. We did very well without a federal tax, without an income tax. And with tariffs and excise taxes, why we were able to function and function fairly well. And once the income tax came in, of course, we massively expanded the federal government. And, of course, every year it's more and more. It took America 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion in debt from 1789 until 1980. This year, this coming year, 2009, chances are the federal deficit will be, the deficit, the money that we don't have, will be about $2 trillion, between $1.5 and $2 trillion in one single year. The federal budget this year is $3.5 trillion. I don't think we're getting our money's worth, do you?
I certainly don't, and I certainly agree with you. And let me pick up on your idea, because one of the problems is when we ask people in our research how much taxes do you pay, they don't usually know, because it's withheld, and they'll tell you, well, I take home $500, or I take home $1,000, whatever it happens to be. We say, fine, and what's on your stub? What is your pay stub? Say that you paid in Social Security taxes and federal taxes. Well, like I told you, I take home $500 or I take home $1,000. People don't know. But under the fair tax, when they go to the cash register and they buy a taco or whatever it is they're going to buy, there it is on the stub in red ink, hopefully, the taxes they paid. And guess what? They're going to get interested. Even if they're at the poverty level and they're getting the prebate, which everybody gets, by the way, not just the low-income people. Everybody gets that if they're a legal resident. They'll take a look at that thing and say, wow, I'm paying a lot in federal taxes. Look at that. Let's get serious about this. And that's why a lot of the power people in Washington don't want this, because people will know how much they're paying in taxes, and they don't like that idea. They like it the way it is now.
Well, now, what about rent? Are we going to have to pay taxes on rent? Are we going to have to pay you mentioned we're going to have to pay taxes on doctor's visits and dentist visits and car repairs and all of those things. We're going to be, anything you do, you're going to get taxed for. Won't that, certainly in a recession, won't that have a tremendous discouragement as far as putting money out? People are not buying now. Won't raising the taxes drive people even further away from doing anything?
No, sir. We have to remember that they will get their whole paycheck. They will get their whole paycheck, including Social Security taxes.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Mr. William Spillane. He's with the Fair Tax Movement. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Mr. Spillane says that certainly this tax, which it sounds like is going to be, what, 22 or 23%?
23 inclusive. We say inclusive because that's the way the income tax is calculated now, on an inclusive basis. That's a little math story that we talk about on the website, fairtax.org. And we are two books, by the way, best-selling books. One is called The Fair Tax, and the other book is called Fair Tax, The Truth. And the reason the second book was written is because there's so many lies about the fair tax that the authors, Congressman Linder and talk show host Neil Bortz, felt they had to compile some, but not all, of the lies that are told about the fair tax, because we're goring a lot of oxen. And the vast majority of American people stand to benefit very greatly from this, but there is a small, wealthy cabal who doesn't want this. So they've got the lies out there and so forth. So the congressmen have a packet full of 3x5 cards in their pockets, so when you ask them about the fair tax, they have a bunch of excuses as to why, oh, that won't work. And here's, let's see, excuse number one, we'll have to get rid of the 16th Amendment. Wrong. Oh, you don't buy that? Okay, how about excuse number two and three and four, and you'll think, oh, they're very thoughtful people, but they're telling you lies. They have a whole pack of cards with all the lies on it. So go see those books. They're available on Amazon.com or at your bookstore, the Fair Tax book, and also Fair Tax, The Truth. And go to the website, fairtax.org, and also Fair Tax Nation is another bunch of volunteers around the country that are doing a lot of good work in promoting the fair tax.
All right, fine. About 23% and here in California, another probably at least. I can't imagine them ever cutting our sales tax. It's not going up to 9%. So anyway, of course, it's going to be about 32%. Anyway, well, let's go to Ruby calling from Live Oak. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, I would love to get rid of the income tax, and I'd love to get rid of the IRS. But I certainly also want to make sure that we didn't end up with the income tax and this added tax, because I don't think the government ever has enough money. But let's go to Ruby, and what are your thoughts, Ruby?
Well, my thoughts are, thank you, Dr. Stan, for taking my call, but my thoughts are almost anything better than the system that we have right now, almost anything. We do have to get rid of the income tax. The whole income tax premise, in my opinion, is based on the fact that that's just the government's way of tracking you and tracking how much money you make. And if you have a sales tax and you're paying in cash without sliding your card, you're just paying and nobody's tracking you. Nobody's trying to find out what you're buying. All of the business we're using with our little sales cards and everything, they know exactly what you're buying. You're telling us this all the time and everything. I think that if we get rid of the income tax, we will be saving a lot of money. I don't know if 23%, I think 23% is maybe you've done your studies and everything, but I think that's ridiculously high. I think that if you tax everything at 10%, you probably have enough for everything we need in this country, providing that the government, you know, tightens its belt and decides that it's going to stop spending money on programs that we don't need. That's just my opinion.
Ruby, I couldn't agree with you more. It could and should be a lot lower, but that's only if we restrict spending. That's a separate issue, and we're not trying to solve all the problems, fix the potholes and so forth. We're trying to solve one huge problem, and that's the tax system itself. So if we can do that, then we can work on the funding and the spending. I agree with you completely. But the 23% number has been studied from here to there and over again, because so many people have said, well, it's not enough, and then others say it's too much. So we spent so much money on studies that people have contributed, including me, to study it 6 ways from Sunday, and it always comes out the same. To raise the same amount of money that we're raising now takes 23%.
All right. Anything else, Ruby?
Yes.
I share your concern about the IRS, and I think we have to get rid of the IRS if we want to be free.
That's the way to do it.
Absolutely. It's just their way of finding out who we are. We're just a number. We're just a number. Anyway, like I said, I think that 23% is too steep. We've got to stop spending on programs that we don't need. That's driving the American people blind.
All right, I think I agree with you totally. Our telephone number, again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our guest, Mr. William Spillane, is certainly very, very well-versed in this whole subject. Anything else you want to say, Ruby, before we let you go?
Thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. We'll let Ruby go, and if you have a question for Mr. Spillane, now, what about the value-added tax? Would that be another viable alternative?
Well, the value-added tax is a sales tax with a lot of paperwork. You start out, if you want to use that same analogy of the fellow who makes the crystal goblets, the guy who digs up the sand would have to fill out paperwork and pass it to the trucking company. He would have to charge the trucking company the tax, the value-added tax. The trucking company takes that paperwork, hauls the load, the sand load, to the factory, and then he turns over the load of sand to the factory and gets the paperwork and charges not only for the delivery of the sand, including the sand, and the tax included. So we charge the value-added tax at every step of production. So it's a real nuisance. It's a big headache in paperwork, and it's a big nuisance, and I've had plenty of people that know a lot about the VAT tell you how to defeat the value-added tax, because they've done it, they say. So this is equivalent of a value-added tax without the headaches, without the paperwork, much cleaner.
And you feel that this levels the playing field?
Well, yes, sir. It levels the playing field with our competitors from abroad. Absolutely, it levels the playing field. That's one of its beauties, is now American corporations and businesses, home-based here and manufacturing and producing here, will be able to ship their goods abroad with no taxes included, let alone the embedded stuff that we're doing to them now. And so, consequently, people will want to invest in the United States, build their factories here, and so on. So, yes, that'll put us on an equal footing with Japan and China and so forth in regards to taxes. And they're really beating our brains out now, and that's why jobs are going overseas.
Well, now, of course, are we going to have the Social Security tax as well?
That's included in the fair tax.
In other words, you will not have to pay Social Security
tax. Correct. You do not have to pay Social Security taxes and Medicare taxes. It's all in that 23%, including the prebate. It's all wrapped up in that 23%.
All right. It says right now, of course, apparently the Obama administration is calculating how they're going to, of course, begin to ration access to health care through Medicare. After all, they give you Medicare, and they provide a lot of the expense of it, and so they feel they have a right to ration it. How will we keep people from rationing or altering Social Security and Medicare with this sort of a system, can we?
Well, those are two separate issues, sir, and all we're trying to do is streamline the tax code and the way we collect taxes, and Rose's comment a minute ago, this is the liberty way to do it. This is the liberty way to do it. The only thing more simple and more fair is no tax at all. And since we probably won't go that way, the fair tax is the way to go for people who want liberty.
Well, now, basically, of course, right now, the average worker is paying about 15% on his Social Security and Medicare. That's 15% on his, well, he pays half of it, and his employer pays the other half. But so there's about 15%. So the difference between 15 and 23 is only about 8 cents. So really, he's only paying about 8 cents if he's a working person. More than he would have before. So actually, this would be a tremendous savings for him, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be a tremendous savings, and of course, he's probably at least in a 10% income tax bracket. If he's very low income, then he's got the EITC, which gets back some of his payroll taxes, but it's a mess, and most people that are qualified for it can't even figure out how to do it, and there's a lot of fraud involved in it also. Too many people know how to do it, and they take advantage of it. So the EITC is a mess, and yes, his Social Security and Medicare taxes combined are 15.3% of his pay, and then he pays 10% income tax. There's 25 right there. Then he goes to the store, and if he buys something from made in America, he's paying about 20% included federal tax he doesn't know about. So our taxes are just killing us, and this is a better way to do it. It's a more efficient way. It's a more fair way. It gives the power back to the people, and we think it's just a wonderful thing to do. But it'll never happen with me yakking on the telephone, and you over the radio. The people have to call up and ask their congressman. For example, Congressman Farr from Santa Cruz is against it. He should be for it. This is for especially the low-income people. It's very good for the low- and middle-income people. So you have to call them up and you have to say, hey, we need you to do this. We need you on that bill. But unfortunately, Nancy Pelosi's cracking the whip on that side. This is a non-partisan bill. Absolutely non-partisan bill. It's good for the American people at all levels. And one of the parties has made it political. They shouldn't make it political. And we have to call them up. They need the votes. So if they think that you're for this, they'll only know if you call them up and tell them you have to have the fair tax. And then they'll say, oh, my gosh, I might not get reelected. There's so many people out there that want this, so I'll have to go along with it.
Well, now, why is Nancy Pelosi opposed this?
Your guess is as good as mine. I would only be speculating if I told you what I think.
Or why would Sam? I don't have any idea why Sam Farr would oppose this.
Well, he's going along with the leadership.
All right. Now, what about Sydney? How many congressmen do you actually have, or have you had in the past? Supporting the legislation.
We've had up to 72 co-sponsors, and the magic number—it's not written in stone anyplace—but the magic number to move a piece of legislation, any number of congressmen will tell you, this is about 100. When you get about 100 co-sponsors, people say, "Uh-oh, there's some real support there," and we'll have to take a look at that. And that's what we need. The bill is in the Tax Writing Committee in the House Ways and Means Committee, and the original sponsor of the bill is on that committee, but he can't get it out of there unless people call their congressman and say, I won't vote for you unless you go for the fair tax. So he needs support from the countryside, not just jawboning his colleagues in Congress. So did I answer your question? I'm sorry.
No, I think that you gave a very, very appropriate answer on that, and certainly So basically, how long before this will have an opportunity to get out of committee? Has it ever actually gotten out of committee onto the floor?
No, and I didn't completely answer your question. We had, in the last Congress, we had 72 co-sponsors. That's a lot. That's a lot. This is not the flat income tax. They have no support in Congress. This is the fair tax. And yes, it's a flat consumption tax, flat rate consumption tax, but don't confuse it with the flat income tax. Now, we had 72 in the last Congress, and so far, first crack out of the bat, we had 34 on the first day, and now we're up to 51 co-sponsors in the present Congress. And we'll add more. Many of the people who co-sponsored last year will probably get on the bill pretty soon. So we'll be up to 72 or perhaps more. But we just don't have enough Democrats. We had one Democrat on the bill last year, a fellow by the name of Boren from Oklahoma, and the only reason he was on the bill was because he's nobody in Congress, he's a new guy, and the people in Oklahoma are shoulder to shoulder on the fair tax. All the congressmen, all the senators except one were the co-sponsors of the fair tax, except one Republican who was in leadership. And so Boren, the only Democrat in Congress who was a supporter of the fair tax, was a co-sponsor, and that's because he probably went to Nancy Pelosi and said, if you don't let me co-sponsor this bill, they're going to throw me out of Congress. Well, okay, you're not important anyhow. You go ahead and co-sponsor. Now they have a big majority, and maybe we won't get them back as a co-sponsor this year. Sad, very sad.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now how long have you been actually working on this project to get the fair tax in?
10 years, sir.
10 years, huh?
Right.
And you're a non-paid volunteer?
That's right.
Is any of the people in this organization paid? And where does the money come from? Because it costs a lot of money.
Like me. I'm a contributor.
I see.
Out of my after-tax income, I've spent a lot of money on this because I believe in it.
Right.
I believe in the United States of America, and I believe we have to fight for what's right here to uphold the Constitution and to run the government efficiently. And this is a way to do it. I've been at this for 10 years, and I'll be at it for the next 10 years
well,
and more.
Well, because you mentioned run the government efficiently. I mean, how can we possibly run the government efficiently? They have no idea where most of the money, or so much of the money they take in, goes. We're just reading something recently from the GAO. And they're really, for 12 years, they've been trying to do an audit of where the money is spent. Nobody knows where so much of the money, the money that goes in the military, nobody knows where it goes, the money that goes into the various departments, nobody knows where it goes. So running efficiently, government is like, trying to come up with dry water.
I
think that maybe
more.
If we had less government, why we would not have the inefficiency. But as long as there's unlimited funds, I believe people are all going to be there. And I suspect if a lot of it's taken out by fraud under one guise or another.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But once people see on their sales receipt how much they're paying for the federal government, they'll start taking an interest. Right now, they don't even know what kind of taxes they're paying. They don't know about the compliance costs. They don't know about the embedded taxes, and so on. They just know how much they take home. So consequently, this will put it right in front of their face. So they'll say, whoa, they were paying a lot for this government. What are we getting for our money?
And so basically, there will be no withholding tax at all.
None.
And there will be no Medicare, Social Security.
Well, you won't pay for it because out of your income, you'll pay for it at the sales register when you buy something, new goods and services. And by the way, foreign products in the United States will have the same tax. Just like when we ship something to France, England, whatever, they put the value-added tax on our goods. We will put the sales tax on all goods that come in from overseas. So we'll be on an equal footing not only here but abroad. So consequently, your purchases of foreign goods will contribute to Social Security and Medicare. And by the way, that's another subject, but this will, you realize, and I don't want to open Pandora's box here, but you realize that the Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, and it's going to fall on its face in the next 10, 15 years or so, at least, if not sooner. And this will help shore up Social Security and Medicare. It won't completely solve the problem, but it'll help a whole lot.
Well, it certainly is the whole idea, I think, is appealing. I don't know what they're possibly going to do with Social Security and Medicare, because there's no way we can ever provide all the funds out, all the benefits we promised. And now, of course, on top of that, the Medicare drug bill, which is really sort of a welfare program for the pharmaceutical industry, never was meant to help the elderly. But, boy, it's sure been good for their stocks. But Suddenly, I don't know what's going to happen to Social Security, Medicare. 10 years down the line, they're going to be totally bankrupt. Do you honestly think that with the funds that are going to come in from the fare tax, we can possibly pay off the some 50 to 60 trillion dollars of debt that they have, most of it in the Medicare and Social Security?
No, King Midas couldn't pay it off. But as far as up till today, if we were to put in the fare tax, it would help tremendously with the problem of Social Security and Medicare. Now, when we're going to start throwing trillions, and by the way, allow me to say, a trillion is 1,000 billions. Billion is a lot of money. It's 1,000 millions. So a trillion is a million millions. Imagine that, a million millions. It's a huge number. It's mind-boggling. No, we can't do that. But that's my humble opinion, and it's off the record as far as the fare tax is concerned. Nobody can pay for that, ever. We'll be selling our children to pay for the trillions of dollars that we're talking about throwing down a rat hole. So we just can't do that. That's absurd, in my humble opinion, but that's not fare tax talk.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Of our problem is to let the American people know that we have an invisible government, that their loyalty is not to America, They were actively encouraging our corporations to go overseas because we want to transfer our manufacturing elsewhere and impoverish the American people. And that's all laid out in the Earth Charter. And if you haven't read it, go up on the Internet and get the Earth Charter. It deals with this new spirituality, this new world government, and the equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And then, of course, if you don't have a copy of the Earth Charter and you get anything from us, you can ask for a copy. We'll be glad to send it to you. But people must begin to understand what we are really up against. We put together a new syllabus. It's called the Membership List of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and it simply gives you the members of all of the Trilateral Commission, the Group of 30, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, I should say, in the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, about each organization, understand what they say about their organization, what the real purpose behind each one is, and of course they're all dedicated to creating a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and a one-world religion, because they are all built upon an intense hatred of Christianity. I'm not suggesting everybody in every organization really understands what it's about, but the leaders of the people do. And if all you need to do is keep staring at the logo of the Trilateral Commission, and you stare at it long enough, you'll see the three sixes, you'll see the upside-down broken cross. You'll understand that there really are people out there who worship a different God. And there really are cult forces and secret societies in the United States today that control our government and are moving us towards destruction. If you've not yet, of course, read my November and December 2008 newsletters and my January 2009 newsletters, they're at RadioLiberty.com. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to have this information and help to understand the spiritual component behind what is going on in the world today. If you'd like to get our four-tape set or four-CD set on the supernatural and the book that goes with that, The Beautiful Side of Evil, we think it's important. We hope you'll want to get our four-tape set on satanic crimes and the book that goes with that. We have the book Hostage to the Devil. I think it's one of the first books I ever read that began to introduce me to the other dimension. That's the other dimension, and its book was written by Malachi Martin, The Hostage to the Devil, and there's a four-tape set that goes with that. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. My interviews with Malachi Martin, one interview done by our good friend John Leffler. We have an excellent book called Diary of a Devil Hunter. That's Diary of a Devil Hunter. You need to get this information. We have so much, many new tape sets that are out there, so much new information. If you'd like to understand how they killed Martin Luther King and why they killed Martin Luther King, we have a four-tape set. It deals with the trial that was held, where, of course, William Pepper, who was hired by the King family, brought a lawsuit against a man named Lloyd Jowers, who was part of the conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King. The trial lasted for 4 weeks. There were 50 witnesses. The jury came up and said the government was involved in the murder of Martin Luther King, and not a word in the controlled media. How could you suppress that? Why, we have freedom of the press in America, and when the people who own the press have the freedom to suppress information. We have a great new four CD set on the murder of Robert Kennedy. And, of course, they go into the background of what really happened, who was Saran. We carry the book, Who Killed Bobby. We have a great new DVD. You can get them all in the Bobby Kennedy special. We recommend this information, so much information. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And then please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty.